You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Ian Rappaport.
Here's what we know right now.
Insider for the NFL Network.
Get out your notebook. There's more.
Breaking news across the National Football League.
This is something that has been going on through the wee hours of last night, really round-the-clock discussions.
The Rap Sheet and Friends podcast.
I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story, and I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
Ian Rappaport with Bernstein and McKnight on The Score.
Ian Rappaport is on Twitter at Rap Sheet. He of the NFL Network and NFL.com, the Rap Sheet and Friends podcast, which this week features an old friend of ours, former Bears special teams coordinator and current Kansas City Chiefs special teams ace Dave Tobe. Always an interesting interview. Ian, good to talk to you.
Good to talk to you. What's happening?
Well, you tell us regarding Alex Smith and this information that has just come out recently. This is serious stuff.
Yeah, it really is. And you know, any time you have a player who breaks, you know, he broke his leg, he broke two bones, the fibula and the tibia, it's serious. They had surgery right away that night when Alex Smith first got his injury. And that, you know, obviously leads us to know that it is something that they're very, very serious about. And, you know, the reason they had surgery so quickly was to ward off infection. And unfortunately, that is exactly what happened. And look, sometimes this does happen medically, but it's not good. Alex Smith is still in the hospital, still dealing with the kind of injuries and complications from those surgeries. And at this point, my understanding is it's too early to say what this means about his playing career. There have been other instances where players, high profile players, have battled serious infection. Rob Gronkowski had one. Tom Brady had one. Both are fine. So we don't know what this means, but clearly this is serious.
This happened with the Cleveland Browns and the Buccaneers at their practice facilities, right, when there were MRSA outbreaks and players affected. And if I remember at the time, Ian, it was about the necrosis that's involved, depending on how aggressive the bacteria may be. If there is actual loss of tissue, is different than like a systemic infection where they're just trying to bring down fever and flush it out, right?
Yeah, I do not know that this is anything related to MRSA or any of the sort of systemic infections that some of the other places like the Bucs had. I mean, that, you know, MRSA is particularly bad because it's resistant to antibiotics. This, I have not heard that this is that. I mean, they are giving him antibiotics. They've had another procedure. I don't know that that anything like this is compared to what those teams were dealing sort of systemically.
Scary stuff. Ian, appreciate the update. I wonder, you know, we've got a pretty big one on the evening of Sunday with the Bears and the Rams coming up, and it's so big that I talk in prose and out of order in syntax, I guess. Has the national perception of this game and the statement that it may or may not be, has that cooled at all with the Bears' loss to the Giants, or is this still as anticipated as it was 2 weeks ago?
Well, I mean, I think the, you know, the loss to the Giants was kind of a weird one because obviously it's bad and you don't want to lose, but I almost, not that anyone takes moral victories at all, but I feel like if there ever was one, this was one because, you know, the Bears fought like crazy. They had an incredible comeback. They ended up losing, but, you know, so much kind of went right for them that I don't even think anything has cooled on the Bears at all, just because of how they played, even in the road loss. You know, so I would say this, the sort of excitement for this game is still real and legit. You know, I would personally, I'm pretty excited about it.
After the Rams and Chiefs played and we had 100 some points scored and all the yards rolled up, I said, wow, look at this. Here's the future of football. And we talked about it. Do you get the sense that there are some around the game that are looking at this one? It's like, you know, come on, defense. Let the Bears prove that a defense is actually allowed to do what it does now. It is actually capable. And we have there's a bit of a larger test here to say, can a defense still be a defense even against this?
I definitely agree with that. Now, I will say this. I love sort of the old school football stuff. Like, I really do believe when you get in, not December, but when you get in January, first of all, it's freezing. Second of all, the refs let everyone play a little more. I do think defense ends up trumping offense if everything were equal, which is why I think the Bears would be a horrendous team to face in the playoffs, obviously. But part of me does kind of wish that, yeah, like the defense would jump up and you know, they'd clamp down and you can't block them, and that makes offenses struggle, and everyone realizes, okay, like this still is about the basics. So just personally for me, I find myself in these situations kind of hoping that the defense stands up and, you know, is noticed and affects the game. Now, the only problem with this game is the Rams got a good defense too. And someone on the Bears is going to have to block Aaron Donald and Ndamukong Suh and, you know, Dante Fowler now and everyone. So if you're rooting for defense, that's fine. The problem is the Rams can ball also.
How do guys around the league tell you that they try and keep the football away from Aaron Donald, that they just try and avoid him completely or double team? Or what is the sense of how you slow down this year's defensive player of the year?
I will be honest. I've had several discussions about that, and I haven't had anyone come up with anything, one, that actually works.
Well, that's terrifying.
Two, that, yeah. I mean, he's like, and you guys will you guys see him in person on Sunday night, I assume. It's really incredible. I mean, you know, we watched him on TV, but it really is incredible. He is a great, great player. You can do some things. You can, you know, you can kind of run outside. You can, you know, exploit the screen game, and that's all fine. But the bottom line is, like, when you're trying to just regular run the ball, he makes it insanely difficult, and he sacks the quarterback like he's a edge rusher. So, I mean, you double him every play. And you sort of just cross your fingers, but I don't know actually something that, you know, anyone can do.
Help me untangle the NFL's response to the Kareem Hunt situations, plural. Sure. And understanding now that the Cleveland Police Department has an internal investigation going on, they released a statement trying to figure out how the NFL got a copy of the police report without an official records request. And then we're wondering, why did the NFL want to do it in back channels to try to sort of keep it secret? Did they see the tape? Did they not? Did they want to see the videotape? It's another case here with all that we've been through of what did they know and when did they know it and what did they want us to know about that?
Well, I would say a couple things. First of all, I'm sure the Cleveland police would like to find out how the NFL got their report, but I don't really understand the issue, because all we as a public have talked about the last couple of days is, how did the NFL not know this? How did the NFL not know that? Well, now it's come out that they're actively seeking this police report and got their hands on it. Why is it now a thing? We're like, well, how did they get it? Like, the point is they should be able to get it. So I guess from the Cleveland police standpoint, it makes sense. But if everyone is clamoring, why didn't the NFL see the video? They should also say, well, glad the NFL was being proactive and trying to find this stuff. As far as the actual video, let me take you through kind of step by step. So the incident happens. The Cleveland police come in and do their investigation. They take statements from everyone. At this point, because it's a misdemeanor, what they say is, all right, the detectives will investigate this if the victims press charges. The victims did not and have not pressed charges yet. So detectives were not sent in. The police did not see the video. Until TMZ released it, the police did not have a copy of it and did not see the video. The NFL requested it, one, in the spring, two, in June, when they got the 911 calls and the body cam footage. They requested it in June. The police didn't have it,
okay,
and were not helpful. The hotel said it is not their policy to give it to anyone but law enforcement, and law enforcement didn't request it. So the NFL could not get it. They also tried to interview the victims, who did not respond to several requests via several different ways of reaching the alleged victims. And then, you know, the TMZ thing comes out. And then all of a sudden everyone sees the video. But until then, the only people who had actually seen it were the hotel, who, of course, then sold it to TMZ.
Wonder what your expectations are for life after Mike McCarthy in Green Bay in the next 4 weeks, in the immediate term, specifically for Aaron Rodgers, and in the long term?
You know, I don't expect too much to change. I imagine if there was something salvageable with the season, that we would have seen it under McCarthy. I mean, everyone knew he was under fire. He knew he was under fire. I know he was surprised by the midseason firing, but in general, I think it was very clear that he was in some trouble. So, you know, maybe they'll simplify things a little bit. Maybe they'll try to get the ball out of Aaron's hand. But if you watch the game on Sunday, Rodgers did not look good. I mean, just physically, he wasn't throwing the ball well. I don't know what's going on, but he looks like a guy who doesn't trust his receivers and wasn't executing at all. Maybe a light bulb comes on and McCarthy leaves and he's great. But clearly, Rodgers' level of play needs to improve, honestly.
We have an official who is being sanctioned, who's under review by the league, in a sort of a strange story. Umpire Roy Ellison is on administrative leave after the Bills defensive end Jerry Hughes accused him, I think he called him a bitch or something like that. I want to say it was the exact language there.
You can say that on the radio?
Yeah, I think so. I don't know. Whatever. If somebody comes in and yells at me, I'll just say it. You know, I'm just quoting the official here.
Sure. Okay.
Is this incredibly uncommon? Is this the first time a player has said something about it? When you first heard this, did you ever heard anything like this before?
Yeah, actually we have, with the same official. Now, first of all, let me say, I don't know what happened, and the NFL is looking into it, and I hope we will find out. I don't know that officials are mic'd, and I don't believe that Jerry Hughes was mic'd, so we may not actually for real know. It might be based on interviews, but we'll know more when the investigation takes place. But this actually, if this is true, Ellison also was suspended for his altercation with Trent Williams in the 2013 or 14 season, where he used a derogatory word to describe him.
Huh. I did not know that. I'm surprised he held on to his job through that. So it's an interesting mitigating circumstance.
Yeah.
Always good stuff, Ian. Thank you very much.
All right, thanks, guys.
Ian Rappaport, NFL Network, NFL.com, the Rap Sheet and Friends podcast, this week featuring Dave Tobe.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.